I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, we will speak with Jack Marshall. He is a professional ethicist. We want to talk about the Penn State scandal, and we want to ask, even if some people adhered to the letter of the law, did they follow an ethical standard? But first, back with a man who's faced ethics challenges of his own, former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. He spent 3 years in federal prison on corruption charges. He's now out, and he's talking about what he learned from that time in his life. We're also talking about his new book, Capital Punishment: The Hard Truth About Washington Corruption from America's Most Notorious Lobbyist. Let's talk about the reforms that you think are needed here based on your experience. Is there a reform that you can envision that would diminish or eliminate the influence of money in the American political system?
Absolutely. You know, Michelle, when I was in prison, I started thinking about how to fix the system that is there. Because obviously throwing Jack Abramoff in jail didn't clean up the system. It gave everybody an opportunity to pat each other on the back. But anybody who thinks that everything was taken care of at that point, I think, is naive. So I put my lobbyist hat on, actually, as I paced the track at prison. And I started to think through, what would I, as a lobbyist, hate and stop in terms of reform? Because the reform they do now is a joke. And they purposely, frankly, go through these little charades and exercises.
Yeah, why?
Well, because they want to show the American people that they're cleaning up Washington, which, of course, they don't want to, because they're the beneficiaries of the perquisites and all the largesse that's coming their way. Or worse, they want to be lobbyists when they're done. So the very people who are passing these rules are looking forward to feather bed going on. And so I started thinking, what would I put in place that would really hurt them? And what would I put in place that I would try to stop? And I came up with certain things. Number one, I would shut the revolving door between public service and cashing in totally. Meaning, not this 2-year moratorium on lobbying, which is nonsense anyway, because they join the lobbying firm and they just communicate with their friends on the Hill saying, oh, well, I can't lobby you myself because, you know, I have a band, but you can talk to my friend Sally, who she can lobby you, and they get around it. What I would do is say, you can't draw a check from a lobbying organization to lobby if you are, in fact, a congressman or if you were a staffer on Capitol Hill.
Forever.
Period. Forever. Number two, the nexus of money to these decisions has got to be severed. We have to cut the money out. So how would I do that? There's a lot of talk about campaign finance reform and public campaign financing, things like that. I have a more simple step, which is as follows. If you're a lobbyist, or you hire a lobbyist, or you're at the public trough getting government grants or contracts or whatever, you can't give $1 politically, federally. If you make the choice yourself to do that, then you have given up the choice to give politically. And I have a few others also. For example, I used to be against term limits, all right, as a lobbyist. And also, you know, I dress it up in thinking, well, you know, people should be able to vote for whomever they wanted. But the truth is, once you bought an office, if you're a lobbyist, you don't have to go buy that office again if somebody new is coming in every few years. It's very disruptive to the lobbyists, which is good. So I think that new blood, new people coming in and out of town, I think is a good thing. And then one of the other ones I talk about is that the laws they pass in Congress have got to be applied to them. We've all seen in the recent days this insider trading thing, which is an outrage. And, you know, I think everybody inside knows that this is going on. They have all this information. They have worse than insider information, actually. Insider information in companies, you know what the company's doing. You work in the company. These people know what's going to happen to these companies before it ever happens. So that's the kind of thing that I put
banning people from trading in areas that they're legislating.
Yeah, and every bill that they pass on anybody else applies to them.
Well, finally, before we let you go, and thank you for coming, mm-hmm. Do you have some thoughts about the presidential campaign coming forward? I mean, there are a couple of candidates, one in particular whom you mentioned in the book, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is recently surging in the polls, and at the same time, he's had some harsh things to say about executives at those the government. Well, it's hard to describe Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but then he also was, it's been revealed that he had something like, what, $300,000 from one of them?
Much more than that?
Yeah. $2
million? Yeah.
Thoughts about that?
Well, I'm sorry to say, I like Newt, but I'm sorry to say that's corruption. I mean, it may not be illegal again. Well, he may not, I doubt he broke the law. I don't know the details, but I doubt it. The problem is that he didn't break the law. That's the problem. This is exactly the kind of cashing in on public service that I'm talking about. Now, he's ostensibly claiming he's not lobbying. I don't know whether that's true or not. Some of the people over at Fannie Mae saying differently. By the way, there's on the other side, there's Solyndra and things like that going on that are also obvious signs of corruption. What I try to do in the book and what I'm trying to say is it isn't productive to point to, oh, it's Republicans, oh, it's Democrats, oh, it's this guy, that gal. Everybody falls prey to these. We've got to change these rules.
Jack Abramoff's new memoir is titled Capital Punishment. In it, he describes how he became the center of a Washington scandal that led to political resignations and jail time. And he was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Abramoff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.